Okay, so hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Fall Global. This is where we connect with global-first entrepreneurs and remote work experts from all around the world to share their experiences. Our guest today is Molly Middleton, Head of Recruiting at Praxent. Molly, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Molly, super excited to have you here with us today. And could you maybe start and tell us a few words about your journey into recruiting and HR, which has led you to become the head of recruiting at Praxent?
Yeah, for sure. I always say that I was one of those weird people that knew what they wanted to do when they were younger. So I always knew that I wanted to be in HR. So I got my degree in human resources from the University of Texas at Dallas. While I was completing my degree, I started working as the HR assistant at a hospital in Dallas. I supported the department maintaining records, working on licensures, renewals, and then got promoted into the generalist role, where I took on more related to employee relations, compliance, reporting, things like that. Once I graduated, I took a position in recruiting as a recruiting coordinator for Capital One. And I hosted like seasonal professionals coming in for like a day's worth of interviews and then hosted the consensus meetings. Got promoted into the senior coordinator role, which led me to the campus recruiting side of the business, working directly with the college students and our interviewers to ensure that everyone had a good experience. After that, I took a job at Google as their recruiting coordinator, and that's what landed me in Austin. So I supported the recruiting function there. Through that is how I found Praxent, and that was next month. It'll be 5 years. So the first 3.5 years, I was helping build out the recruiting function because we didn't have that, or Praxent didn't have that at the time of my joining. Now that's still part of my role. And then the other half of my role is managing all of our outsourced engineering projects.
Okay, I didn't know that. So like after hearing about your journey from Capital One, Google to Praxent, it's clear you have seen a lot. How have this like varied experiences, you know, shaped how you recruit? And could you maybe share some key takeaways from those places you worked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All of the businesses are so different. So learning the different, what all of them do, how they make themselves stand out, and then just experience, I think, is key. So you just learn about, the different candidates and how to provide a really good experience, what makes a company competitive. I would say those are probably some of the few things.
Awesome. And so speaking about like adapting, let's talk about like topics that I guess will shape the workplace globally. So in your article about Praxent being like a sort of global family, you shed light on the diverse team setup. So could you give us more insights into how Praxent keeps a strong global culture and manages like a successful a team that's spread across different time zones and places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've definitely gotten creative over the years, have been willing to admit when things didn't go as expected or when we just didn't have a good idea altogether, and then pivot from there. When it comes to remote work, communication is 100% key. So, we're proud to say that it's always kind of been in our DNA at Praxent. So when I first joined, we had an office in Austin and then a flexible work environment. So you didn't even have to come into the office if you lived in Austin. And then once the pandemic hit and everyone was remote, we really learned how the folks that were going into the brick and mortar every day gained a greater empathy and understanding for the people that were outside of Texas or in Latin America. So now I would say, I mean, we host yearly in-person get-togethers for all of our countries, since we're in Latin America and in the United States, for all of our areas. So it's really fun to see everybody get together. And then one of the other things that I would say that we do related to our culture is our career ladders. That's one thing that people are really excited about. So we have a career ladder for our team to follow for that has clear expectations as to the role, responsibilities, and deliverables for each team member. We have a Kanban operating system now that talks about the efficiencies of our team. That would be a couple things. We also maintain a what we call a huddle every Friday. So we get to come in as an organization and celebrate each other's wins and what's been going well that week too.
Okay. And moving onto like a global stage certainly requires this unique approach, right? Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned, you hire like guys from different time zones and countries. So how does like a Praxent navigate global hiring? And what are the maybe key factors considered to ensure that the team meets the needs of clients worldwide?
Mm-hmm. We're fortunate in that our recruitment team has really become extremely successful in our global hiring. We try to maintain hiring within our time zone just to make it easier on everybody. So that's why we got into Latin America. So we're big on building relationships. Even if we don't have a role available at that time, we do try to build relationships with all of our candidates so that when we do, it's, you know, a right time, right opportunity for both Praxent and the candidates.
Okay, and speaking about the like, initial motivation for you, like behind going global, I know that it wasn't your decision, but you're founders of your company, but still, yeah. I guess you have some insight. So what sparked Praxent's move to start hiring globally, and how has this decision like fueled growth and maybe the quality of service offered to your clients?
Yeah, I would definitely say, knowing that there's just as qualified talent outside of the United States, would be, I would say, probably the number one reason that we ended up going global. So just as qualified talent, and then access to like specialized skill sets. So there's certain areas in Latin America that have a lot of experience in fintech, or, you know, a lot of experience in a specific technology as well.
But if you just, you know, dive a bit deeper, before that, remind me, which countries does Praxent operate in? You mentioned Brazil, I guess. Yeah.
Brazil, Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, Argentina.
Okay. Awesome. And in terms of selecting markets for specific roles or skills, how does your company approach this decision-making process? I mean, for example, you might say like, okay, so we need like a couple backend engineers. And we know that in Brazil specifically, there are like a really cool like backend engineers. In the same time, like we have like designers, and we usually hire designers in Argentina because from our perspective, from our experience, there are a bunch of really awesome designers in Argentina. So do you have anything like that, like internal decision-making process?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously we stay within our time zone, the countries that we're currently in. We have found that specific to design, depending on where other companies, so that where they've gained experience previously is where we found a lot of success for like design, for example. So we find a lot of good talent in Mexico. Same thing with Brazil. They have a lot of experience within fintech and then mobile development. So that's how we target, depending on the role that we have open, is how we target what company we or country, I'm sorry, that we want to recruit out of for that role.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is clear in terms of countries. And you mentioned a couple of times that you're focused on the fintech industry, right? Mm-hmm. I assume your company is focused there, right? So in terms of hiring, so domain expertise is very important for you, right? So you usually want to hire someone with fintech, specific fintech experience, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yep, and that's exactly what our clients are looking for too. So we are a fintech software development firm. So when our clients come to us to hire, they want someone that has been on several fintech projects before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And speaking about in this context, speaking about sourcing and maybe headhunting, so you have like a list of like a fintech unicorns, like for example in Brazil there are a bunch of fintech unicorns, fintech startups. So you have this list, and you are trying to headhunt like guys from those specific companies, or you have some different approach.
You know, I will say 40% of our hires last year were actually current team member referrals. So that's a lot of where our new talent comes from as well, is just people working at Praxent. They love Praxent, so they tell their friends or previous colleagues about it. But yeah, otherwise it would be the people that have had experience in other projects within the fintech industry.
Okay, awesome. So still the challenge of attracting like a top talent, you know, it's different, like a greatly different by region, right? So can you provide maybe insights into your company's experience in recruiting across the various countries you operate in? So what unique maybe challenges or opportunities do these regions present?
I would say the number one thing is going to be English skills that we run into. That's something that we definitely have to have. So that would be one of the challenges. And especially also with remote work, that communication's key. So that would be one thing related to the different challenges. And then it's a blessing and a curse. A lot of the developers that we recruit are excited to work with an American company. And then some of them are a little nervous about taking that leap. So selling Praxent in that way, and why they will gain experience by working at Praxent. What else? Those are probably the top two that come to my mind.
Okay. Awesome. Speaking about compensation, right? Compensation strategy are crucial for when managing a global team, and you need to understand like what trends we have in different countries, right? What ranges we have in different countries. So could you maybe talk a bit about this, and how your company addresses compensation across different regions? How do you make sure things are, you know, fair for and you know, competitive internally and externally in all your markets?
Mm-hmm. We do a lot of compensation. I would say twice per year, actually, we do compensation research. So first thing is dependent upon location and where someone's located. So a developer in El Salvador is going to be paid much differently than a developer located in like Mexico or Brazil, just cost of living, just like it would be in the United States. And then, so years of experience and then location. We do pay salaries that are competitive for the region that the team member is located in. And they're paid very fairly, just like we would in the United States, like a developer in the United States.
Okay, that's good. But you said that you still need to understand like those compensation ranges in different regions. So how do you do this? Do you use specific tool, like maybe use like a deal or Horster, those mm-hmm. they have this compensation calculators on their websites, or maybe use CART or some other source of information?
Mm-hmm. One tool that we use is Lattice. They keep their information up to date, and I'm pretty sure that it comes from Mercer. Don't quote me on that. That's mostly like our operations team that's running a lot of the compensation research. And then the other tool that we do use is Glassdoor. It's not always up to date and it's not always perfect, but it is what people are looking at. Developers, candidates, everybody's looking at prior to having those conversations. So we take both of those things into account for the location and then determine our pay band that way.
Okay, that's cool. And what other tools or technology have been like, you know, lifesavers for Praxen in tracking the challenges of global recruitment?
Let's see. So we use, I mentioned Lattice, but they also have an employee engagement tool that has become really helpful for us. So we can provide feedback to one another one-on-one, but also it directly ties into a Slack channel where if I wanted to shout out a developer on one of my projects, then the whole organization would see it. That would be one tool. That's also where we do our one-on-ones as well. And keep our, I mentioned the career ladders earlier, that's where we keep them readily available. We use Guru for like a source of truth for all of our internal, it's like our World Wide Web internal. So we use Guru, and that's where we do a lot of our onboarding to just hopefully provide a seamless onboarding experience for everybody. And then obviously Slack, just a tool that keeps communication consistent.
Of course. Slack there. Okay. But what about like a compliance and payroll part? So in terms of hiring globally, how does understanding the financial regulations in different countries play into your strategy? Do you use maybe, again, like a deal, Oyster, those import of record like tools, or you hire like those guys directly, like contractors, or maybe you have some entities locally? Can you talk more about this part?
We don't have any business entities set up outside of the United States today. So all of our team members are independent contractors. And then we put them into Bamboo HR, which is the other tool that we use as our HRIS, where all of our US team is housed as well.
Okay. That's fair enough. You know, we have around like a 10K tech talent in our network, and I believe a significant portion of those guys would appreciate like maybe specific tips and advice on how to stand out among like thousands of applicants to become a part of maybe your wonderful team.
How to stand out? Was that the question?
Yeah, how to stand out like among those, you know, thousands, tons of applicants.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. We have, we actually do have a tool where in Greenhouse, which is the applicant tracking system that we use, that will automatically pass folks through that meet our basic qualifications. So location, English skills, things like that. Standing out, I would say, is someone that's really excited about the position. I know that software developers are highly sought after. So someone that's also excited about the position at Praxen, that is one way that I know that people have stood out in the past. And then having an understanding of what our recruitment process looks like. So it's been called the gauntlet before, but the first step is a phone interview. And then the second step is a biographical interview. So we walk through each person's chapter of their career, asking just a similar set of questions about what they were hired to do and what, you know, accomplishments, low points, things like that. And then there's a technical interview after that. And I say understanding our recruitment process because there's a lot of times when we'll interview someone and they haven't prepared ahead of time. So they don't know all the things that they've done really well at other organizations. And so that's another thing that has really helped folks stand out through our process.
Okay. So I guess was my final question. Was the remote work and this global hiring scene always changing, right? Mm-hmm. So what I guess trends or shifts do you see on the horizon for recruiting, and what can companies do to stay one step ahead of their competitors?
I see a lot of businesses adopting the hybrid work models, so allowing folks to work remote, but also in the office. So I would say that's definitely going to continue because it offers that flexibility while maintaining like a level of in-person collaboration. So more of the hybrid model coming back and employees wanting the option to be able to work remote. Maintaining boundaries for personal time and work time. There's been all kinds of articles about burnout with workers feeling like they can't shut off communication. And remote work kind of blurs those boundaries between personal and professional life. So I would say businesses should definitely prioritize employee well-being, offering support, the flexible schedules, promoting that work-life balance. Global talent pools. So with remote work becoming more normalized, businesses have access to the global talent pools. They can hire, you know, the best candidates regardless of location. So it's going to lead to increased diversity, access to specialized skills. And then I would say the final thing would be cybersecurity and a technology investment. With remote work, businesses are facing increased cybersecurity risks due to like distributed networks and vulnerabilities for in-office, in-home office setups. So companies need to definitely invest in a robust cybersecurity measure and provide training to employees to mitigate some of those risks.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Molly, for sharing your insights on international hiring, on this remote first culture that you have at Brexen, on these challenges and obstacles of hiring globally. So we wish you and Brexen all the best in your journey, and keep up the great work, and take care.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast.